Hello, this is Spencer DeVries, lead pastor of the Well Fort Payne. Thank you so much for tuning into our podcast today. It's our hope and our prayer that every time you listen to one of our services, that your life is changed by the power of the Word of God. So I encourage you today, listen with open ears and an open heart. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly and receive it with gladness.
Go ahead and grab your Bible and hold it up with me and let's declare this together. Say, I am what His Word says I am. I can do what His Word says I can do. I can be who His Word says I can be. So today, I'll receive the Word of God. I'll be taught the Word of God because I love the Word of God. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Go with me to Ephesians chapter 5, and we're going to read together verses 8 through 17, and that's going to be the text for my sermon today, and we're just going to stay right here in Ephesians chapter 5. We're not going to flip to and from a bunch of different scriptures. I feel like God has laid it on my heart to preach to you this specific passage and this portion of scripture because I really feel like it. God put His finger on it to say, this is where the church is, and this is what I am requiring of the church in this season. You know, in order to be able to fulfill God's role and responsibility as the church, we first need to know what God requires of us, right? What does God want of us? What is He asking of us in this season, in this time? And so we're going to look at this passage of scripture because it very plainly lays out, I feel like, what God is saying He is desiring from His church in this time and in this season. So Ephesians chapter 5, picking up in verse 8. If you don't have your Bible, we'll have it on the screen so that you can follow along. But let's read this together. It says, "For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. For whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore, He says, awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is." Let's pray, and then we'll get into the sermon today. Father, I thank You that by Your word You instruct us. You show us what Your will is. God, even as we read in that last passage, understand what the will of God is. Lord, I pray that today, through this sermon, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, that You would help us and allow us to understand exactly what You want from us in this season of life. God, as we walk out and work out our salvation both with fear and with trembling, God, I ask that You would instruct Your people today and that the Word of God would fall upon good soil. I pray that You would anoint me as a messenger to carry the gospel of Jesus Christ with power and authority today in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Well, my sermon for today, the title is Carpe Diem. Maybe you've heard that. I'm sure you've heard that saying before, Carpe Diem. It's a phrase that I'm sure you are aware in Latin means what? Seize the day. Everybody say that. Say, seize the day. Okay? More literally, it doesn't mean seize the day. That's what we've translated to, but really it actually means pluck the day. It means pluck the day, okay? Which I find interesting because when you pluck something, it means that you are choosing that thing, right? When you walk up to an apple tree or an orange tree and you pluck an apple or you pluck an orange, you are choosing that specific piece of fruit that you want to take and you choose what? The best piece of fruit. Have you ever looked at an apple tree and you're like, that's the one that I want right there? I remember growing up, my grandparents had a plum tree in their backyard and we would have a contest to see who could eat the most plums. And listen, it wasn't anything to brag about because how many of you have eaten too many plums before? Okay, only me. I'm the only person that's done that. It is not fun. Okay, because you win the game, but you lose in the long run when you eat too many plums. Okay, I'm just going to be honest with you. It was fun in the moment. It's like sin. It's pleasurable, but for a season. There's going to be a time that's going to come later that you're going to go, I wish I would have lost and wouldn't have won the plum game, right? But I remember when you pluck fruit off of a tree, you try to find the best one. And I thought about this because I believe that if we are going to make full use of the time that God has given us on this earth, listen, do you realize that life is but a vapor? We only have so much time on this earth. We're not going to be here forever. In fact, we're not even promised tomorrow. We're not promised to get through the end of the day today, nor are the people that we're going to be around. So that's why we must pluck the day. That's why we have to choose. I'm going to make full use. I'm going to make a conscious decision. I'm going to choose to make the most of the influence and the opportunities that God has given to me. That's what we should all desire to do as Christians. And in Ephesians chapter 5, Paul is basically encouraging the church, or really challenging the church, to do exactly that, to seize the day, to pluck the day, to make the most of every experience. How many of you guys would agree with me today and say we're living in evil days, right? We read just a moment ago and it says, redeem the times. Why? Because the days are evil. The Bible says that the day will come when the evil people will wax in worse and worse. I'm telling you, we are living in evil days. Let me just give you some, if you don't believe that, let me just show you for a moment, okay? Here's some things that are going on in the world today. We have people that were born male competing in the Olympics as females, okay? Some people say, well, it's not fair to not let them compete. No, it's not fair to the women they're going to compete against. That's what's not fair, okay? But anybody that says that's not okay, they're labeled evil, when really they are trying to combat the very evil of the confusion of people's gender and making it unfair for the women that they're competing against. We have a media system that operates off of fear and deception, okay? Capitalizing and making profit off of the fact that our nation is divided. They are making their profit and they are peddling division and division and division. News and media outlets don't want things to get better. Why? Because the worse things are, the more money they make. The worse things are. And so they're not trying to help the problem. They're trying to create more problems. Because good news doesn't sell as good as bad news, right? I believe that we aren't as divided as CNN and Fox News would lead us to believe. If we would turn off of our TVs and begin to talk to one another, we would realize we have more in common than we actually think that we do, and we would be able to talk through our problems and figure them out as adults instead of just fighting with each other all the time. And here's another thing that's going on. Any church, organization, or group that stands up for the biblical definition of marriage is labeled as a hate group that is bigoted and closed-minded, right? Just because we stand for traditional marriage, what God has ordained as one man and one woman being in a relationship together, which is marriage. Speaking out against the murder of innocent children is considered oppression of the rights of the female that is with child and desires to dispose of that precious child that God has blessed people with. But what about the rights of the child that's in the womb that has no voice, right? Masculinity is looked down on, and they've labeled it toxic, right? I mean, some groups want to do away with the terminology mother and start calling them birthing people, okay? Pornography isn't just accepted, it's forced down your throat every single day. Everywhere that you look, turn on the TV, look at a billboard, open your phone to get on Facebook, it's everywhere. You don't have to look for it, it's looking for you. Violence is rampant. I mean, come on. Can you agree with me? We're living in evil times. Right? So here's my question for you today. What are you doing about it? If you believe the world is evil, what are you doing to change it? Because that's why he left us here. Jesus said, I'm going to the Father, right? But in one of his last statements in the Great Commission, he said, you go into all the world and you preach the gospel. You make disciples. Don't just sit here. Don't just create your little comfortable community where everything is right and you don't have to worry about what's going on. He said, I want you to go out. I want you to be my witnesses in Judea, in Samaria, even to the uttermost parts of the earth. I want you to baptize. I want you to make disciples. I want you to perform miracles. I want you to see signs and wonders. I want things to begin to change and shift when you walk into the room, because we aren't called just to shun people who are evil. We're called to bring people out of darkness and into light, because if he brought us out of darkness and into light, it's not enough for us just to sit here and huddle together and have our little light here. We've got to take the light that is here and get it out into the world. We've got to seize the day. We've got to redeem the times. How are you seizing each day and choosing each day with the desire and the heart to make your light shine in the midst of darkness? Because you know what? We aren't here to hide and survive. We are here to shine. We are here to thrive. We are here to make a difference because we have the Spirit of God living inside of us. We are the hope for humanity. And so I want to tell you today, church, you are the answer that people are looking for. Why? Because if Jesus Christ is living inside of you, if the same Spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead is living inside of you, He will quicken your mortal body and you will be able to bring life and light to those that you are with and those that you are around. No longer can we hide in our homes and in our churches. I want you to know right now, the Well Fort Payne is not going to be a church that's just going to hide out. We are here to shine and we're here to make a difference. You know why? Because people need to know that there's a better way. People need to know that there is a need for repentance and there is a reason for hope. Do you know that statistics say that depression is at an all-time high in our nation? There's never been more depressed people in America than today. Okay? In fact, depression is the number one cause of disability in America today. And not only that, but it is most prevalent in those between the ages of 12 and 25 years old. What does that say to me? That says that the enemy is attacking the next generation of leaders with depression. Because depression makes you not be able to function properly, and it makes you think that you will never achieve, you're not good enough, you aren't able to, you aren't skilled enough, you aren't called enough, you aren't chosen enough, and I cannot and I will not sit idly by and let the world take the ones that God has chosen and called as His sons and daughters. So the question again remains is, what are we going to do about it? Because we could sit here and go, oh, that's terrible. Or we could go find somebody to love on. We could go find somebody to redeem. We could go find somebody to rescue. We could go find somebody to preach the gospel to. I do not want to be somebody that just sits around and watches the world go to hell. I want to be somebody that gets in there and makes a difference because we all were once in the place that those that are in the grasp of the enemy are in now. That's why Paul started this whole thing. He said, you once were darkness, but now you have been made light. First Peter says, He brought us out of darkness and into His marvelous light. How many of you remember that you used to be malicious and lustful and greedy and addicted and hopeless and depressed? How many of you remember you used to be there? I know I used to be some of those things, but that's what Paul is talking about in Ephesians chapter 5. And I want to go through verses 8 through 17. I want to take them verse by verse, and I really want to break down what Paul is saying to us. And I want you to take personal responsibility for what he is saying today so that we can learn how do we seize the day? How do we redeem the time? How can we make the most of the life and the time that God has given us on the earth? So let's look back at verse 8 and let's break it down. He says in verse 8, for you were once darkness, but now you're light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Before coming to know Jesus as our Savior, I want you to realize this. We weren't just in darkness, we were darkness. We weren't just in it, hanging out around it, we were a part of it. Meaning we were contributing darkness to the world. But thankfully, by the same token, when you get saved, when you get cleansed, when you get redeemed, when you get filled with the Holy Ghost, we are not just in the light, we are part of the light, okay? But my question is, if we are the light, why isn't the world a brighter place? If we're the light, why isn't the world a brighter place? Why isn't your workplace brighter? Why isn't your home brighter? Why isn't our church brighter? Why is it that the church is dealing with as much depression and divorce as the world is? Because we're not letting our light shine. Somewhere we begun to succumb to the darkness. But Jesus said this. He said, you are the light of the world. The responsibility to light up the world rests on you and me. But then he says, a city on a hill cannot be hidden. Not will not be hidden, cannot be hidden. It is not possible to hide your relationship with Jesus Christ. If he's inside of you, others will know. So I want to ask you, since you started working where you work, has it gotten brighter? Because if it hasn't, you aren't fulfilling your responsibility as a believer. Since you started coming to this church, has this church gotten brighter? Has your home gotten brighter as you walk with Christ? Because does the environment change when you clock in? Does the environment change when you walk into a room, when you come into a situation, when you enter a conversation? Does it get brighter or does it get dimmer? Because there's no such thing as being half light and half darkness. In fact, the book of 1 John, it says, in him is light, talking about God, and there is no darkness at all. Think about it. There is zero darkness in light. And if we were to turn out all the lights and black out all the windows, there would be no way to hide the fact that there was light. Everyone would see it. So how is it that the world is not a brighter place if we as Christians are called to be the light? And it can't be hidden. We ought to make a difference every single place that we go. I love what Howard G. Hendricks said. He said, you can teach what you know, but you can only reproduce who you are. And the problem is we have a lot of Christians talking about light, but not being light. Because you can only reproduce who you are. So ask yourself, have I made the places that I go brighter? When I walk into a room, does it illuminate? When I clock into work, does the environment change? Does it get brighter? When I encounter a stranger, do I cause it to cause their life to light up? And then you may ask, well, how do I know? I don't know. Like, am I being a light? Am I not being a light? I'd really like to know. Well, verse 9 answers that for us. It says, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. Now, I really like the King James Version. I really like the New King James Version. I do most of my Bible reading from the New King James Version. I found it to be extremely accurate when you look at the definitions of the words in the Greek of what they are. But in this case, the New King James and the King James are the only translation that use the word Spirit in verse 9. Every other translation of the Bible that I have found uses the word light. You know why? Because that's what it actually said in the Greek. It didn't say the fruit of the Spirit. Some translator used this to try to draw a correlation between Galatians chapter 5 and Ephesians chapter 5. But if you read it the way that Paul wrote it, he actually said the fruit of the light is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. So here's the answer to the question that we're asking. Am I being a light? Are you contributing goodness? Are you contributing righteousness? And are you contributing truth to every conversation, to every situation, to every relationship, to every encounter? Because that's the determining factor for whether or not you are contributing light or darkness. Because here's the thing, fruit doesn't lie. You can say that you're in the light, but is the fruit being produced of light in your life? Just like I could tell someone that's an apple tree and they could go, how do you know? And I would say, because there's apples on it. There's no way to argue that. No, that's an orange tree. No, it's not. There's apples on it, right? Because the fruit can never lie. So if there's righteousness and truth and there's goodness coming out of our life, then obviously the light is inside of us because the light, that's the type of fruit that the light will produce. So going on to verse 10. Verse 10 says, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. I'm just going to go ahead and say this. This is the reason that the church doesn't shine as bright as she should. Because we are fellowshipping with darkness too much. And I'm not going to sugarcoat it. I'm not going to skip over it. I'm not going to get legalistic on you. But I do want to tell you the truth today, and I want you to hear me out. You are called as a child of God to be light. But you will not be a light if you're fellowshipping with darkness. You're called to be in the world as a light, but not of the world. Remember, he didn't say you were in darkness. He said you were darkness. So yes, we can be in the world, but we're a light in the midst of the darkness. But we are not called to fellowship with the darkness. We're called to minister to the darkness, evangelize to the darkness, not become one with the darkness. I love the old analogy that Jesus ate with sinners. He didn't sin with sinners. He didn't become like them in order to make them something different. How can you make something different if you're like that thing? The only way to be a difference maker is to be different. And the problem with the church, the reason we don't have the witness that we should have or that we used to have as the church is too much of the church is fellowshipping with darkness today. And you are called as a child of light to be pleasing to the Lord. That's why it says, find out what is acceptable. That word acceptable means pleasing to the Lord. And listen, you, the brighter you become, the more pleasing you are to God. Now, his love is unconditional. It never changes. God will love you no matter what. But you are in charge of how pleased he is with you. That's why it would make a difference. We need to find out what is pleasing to God, because some things are pleasing and some things are not. And he is pleased with those who do not fellowship with the world, but those who live pure and decent and holy and set apart and unadulterated lives, free of sin, free of darkness, by the power of the Holy Spirit. We've got too many Christians trying to fit in with the world and justify the world's sin away, right? And we need more unashamed sons and daughters of God. That word expose, okay, as it goes on to say, but don't fellowship with the fruit of darkness. So, okay, well, if I'm not supposed to fellowship with it, what am I supposed to do? He says we're supposed to expose the unfruitful works of darkness. That word expose means convict. Convict the unfruitful works of darkness. And here's what we would say. Oh, well, I don't want to make anybody uncomfortable. Well, don't you think hell's going to be uncomfortable? Wouldn't you rather make them uncomfortable for a moment in the world than them go to hell for eternity? If we don't start living the way of the word and being willing to convict people because we're different than they are, then we're going comfortable people right to hell. I don't want them to be uncomfortable. If somebody's house was on fire, wouldn't you tell them? But let's imagine you looked through the front window and they're sitting on the couch in your underwear. You'd go, well, I don't want to make them feel uncomfortable. No, you wouldn't think a thing about it. You'd run right in there and tell them, your house is on fire. Well, when people are living in unfruitful works of darkness, their house is on fire. And eventually, things are going to come crashing down and they're going to live eternity separated from God. And we would not think twice about making them feel uncomfortable about the fact that their house is on fire if it was a natural thing. But spiritually speaking, we are so scared. And I think the problem is we wonder, we feel like we can't convict them because we're still fellowshipping with darkness ourselves. And the problem is that we have to remember hell is real. And if we don't warn the world, who will warn them? And we've got to come out. That's why Paul said in 2 Corinthians, come out from among them and be ye separate. Okay? We can't be fellowshipping with the world and still consider ourselves to be children of God. You don't have to run up to people and start telling them they're so sinful and they're awful and they're terrible. The way that you convict somebody is by loving them, being kind to them, but not partaking in the same things that they will partake in. You know how I know this? Because it's not you that convicts them. The light is the one that does the work. It's the light inside of you that begins to expose the darkness. Because look at verse 13. All things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. For whatever makes manifest is light. So basically, what Paul is saying is it's the light inside of you that will expose the darkness inside of them. It's not you telling them how bad they are and what they're doing sinful and they need to quit drinking and they need to quit smoking and they need to quit cussing. But as you simply be the light that God has called you to be, and you don't have any fellowship with those things, and you set yourself apart, and you allow the Holy Spirit to lead you and guide you, that what is inside of you will expose the darkness that is inside of them. So I encourage you today, don't try to hide the light, but let the light shine. It makes me think about this old story that I heard about Smith Wigglesworth. I don't know if you've ever heard of him, but he was a mighty man of God that lived years and years ago. And he went to go to a minister's convention. He was traveling by train and he was in a car full of clergymen because all of these ministers were going to the same minister's conference. He boarded the train. He stood up and he decided he was going to go and he was going to wash his hands. Well, as he went, he washed his hands. He began to come back into the car where all the clergymen were, and all of a sudden this man begins to cry. And Smith Wigglesworth says, what's the matter with you? And he said, sir, you convict me of sin. And before he knew it, the entire car of ministers was repenting, crying, and asking him to pray with him. He didn't do anything special. He didn't stand up and say, all you guys are sinners and you're going to hell. You need to get your life right. You need to clean it up. You know what he did? He walked in the light. 1 John chapter 1 says, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we will have fellowship one with another. And the blood of his son will cleanse us from all sin. As we walk in the light, it will expose the darkness that other people are walking in. You don't have to be a Bible thumper. You don't have to be legalistic. You don't have to be hateful. You don't have to be judgmental. You just decide, I'm going to walk in the light. I'm going to be a child of the light. I'm going to do what God has called me to do. I'm not going to fellowship with unfruitful works of darkness. And there will be a difference on my life, and it will expose the darkness that's in other people's life. So, verse 15, this is where I really want to get to today. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. That word circumspectly means with exactness, but it also means strictly. Strictly. That word gets a bad rap, doesn't it? Strict. Usually we use it to describe someone, man, they're just strict. And usually we mean they're mean. They're hard. They're difficult. You know? They rule their children with an iron fist, or they're a strict boss, or they're a strict coach, or they're a strict teacher, or they're a strict parent. I'll tell you what, I have thanked my parents multiple times that I grew up with strict parents. It didn't seem like in the moment that they loved me, I thought that they were being mean when all my friends were watching Scooby-Doo and Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, and I thought it was stupid that I didn't get to watch what they got to watch, and I didn't get to watch Barney because there was magic on it, and I didn't get to do all this stuff, and I thought it's just not fair that my friends get to go to those movies and they get to go to those parties. But I'll tell you what, as I've grown up and I've gotten closer and closer to God, I am thankful that I had some parents that were strict and said, no, you're not going to do that. You're not going to watch that in my home. Why? Not because they hated me, but because they loved me. They knew what was best for me. Because that word strict simply means this, to follow rules exactly. What's bad about that? What's bad about that? I try to teach my children, listen, boundaries aren't bad. Boundaries are put in place to keep you safe, not to make you weird, not to make you not have any fun. There's some places that I've been that I'm glad that there are boundaries, because it shows me if you go beyond this point, you're going to fall. If you go beyond this point, there's going to be danger, right? I'm glad that there are boundaries and there is a strictness. But remember what Jesus said. He said, if you love me, you'll obey me. What does the word strict mean? It means to obey rules completely. But there's too many church members that are in love with the world, and they don't want any boundaries. They don't want any strictness. They don't want the Word of God to tell them what to do. They don't want the preacher to tell them what to do. They don't want to be guided by the Holy Spirit. And now people don't want to hear about holiness. People don't want to hear about walking in the light. People don't want to hear about strictness and exactness and walking circumspectly in sanctification. But I'll tell you this. The problem with the church is when the strictness goes, when the holiness goes, when the purity goes, when then goes the presence of God, then goes the power of God, there goes the miracles, there goes the anointing. Because when you don't walk circumspectly, when you don't walk with strictness, you don't walk in holiness. Without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. Amen? People don't want to hear that kind of stuff anymore. But the church isn't what she should be. You know why? Because on Sunday, we're playing prop me up instead of clean me up. Everybody wants to come into church, make me feel better about myself. Tell me how good I am. Tell me how I can be successful. Tell me how I can get healthier and wealthier and wiser. Tell me how I can, you know, just everything's going to be okay. If I can just hold on, one day God's going to take me home. Tell me how I'm a good person and I know I'm walking through a tough season right now, but everything's going to be okay because God is in control. Tell me how I can this and I can that. And we've made church out to be about us. Just make me feel loved. Make me feel encouraged. I want to go get my weekly dose of vitamins so that I can just make it through the week. But no, church is not just a place to encourage you. That's one of the things church is for. And listen, I'm an encourager. You'll probably know I don't preach like this all the time. Usually I'm more of an encourager. I'm here to tell you that you are loved, you are chosen, and you are. But if that's all you ever hear, then you'll think you can do whatever you want. Live however, do whatever, and still everything's going to be okay. Why? Because Daddy God loves you, right? But a true father doesn't just affirm, he also corrects. That's the two legs upon which fatherhood stands, is affirmation and correction. And sometimes the father says, you need to walk more circumspectly. You've been walking foolishly, and you need to clean your act up a little bit, right? So many people at church just want the church to make them feel better about themselves. But we're not here just to make you comfortable. God is way more concerned with you being holy, with you being acceptable, and with you being useful. And Paul instructs us. He says, redeem the time. We cannot redeem the time unless we are walking circumspectly. And again, circumspectly means with exactness or strictly to follow all the rules. And the problem is we have not been following the rules, and so therefore we have not been redeeming the time as the church. And that's why the evil that is running rampant in our nation is running the way that it is. I truly believe it's because the church has not been who she has been called to be. But We're not going to be like that, are we? We're going to be people who do redeem the time. We're going to be people who will walk circumspectly, who will allow the Lord to cleanse us and purify us and use us. So let's look at it. What does it mean to redeem the time because the days are evil? I want to remind you that when Paul says that, he is speaking correction, but he is also speaking a mission. He's given us something to do, something that we are to put our hands to. He's given us a mandate. He's given us instruction under the unction and the anointing of the Holy Ghost. And I want to answer this. So let's ask, how can I redeem the time? Because some people would say, how can you do that? What's done is done. When time has passed, I can't go back and relive yesterday. I can't take back the 5 years that I lost, you know, when I wasn't living for the Lord. Well, first I would say you've got to stop speaking or thinking and speaking carnally and start thinking and speaking spiritually, because he's not just talking carnally, he's talking spiritually. With man, this may be impossible, but with God, nothing's impossible. God can do whatever he wants, anytime he wants, any way that he wants. And so secondly, I would also say this. I would just like for a few moments, a few more moments of your time, I'd like to explain to you better what Paul is saying. Because when we hear redeem the time, we think, how do I go back and change what's been done in the past? That's not what Paul is saying, okay? The word time means season or opportunity. But the word redeem means to save from loss or to improve. Okay? So in essence, what he's saying is, I want you to improve the days that you're living in. I want you to make a difference right now. No, you may not be able to change yesterday or yesteryear, but you can decide in this time, in this season, in this opportunity, I'm going to redeem it for the goodness of God. I'm going to improve it. I'm going to rescue it from loss. We are called to improve the times that we are living in by shining like lights. Exposing darkness, teaching the truth, loving, giving, and serving. And we are commissioned to rescue the lost from the grasp of hell. Do you realize that every time that you clock in, you aren't just there to earn a paycheck? You're there to fulfill the call of God on your life, to redeem the time because the days are evil. As a Christian, you have to understand, I have a responsibility not just to live and to breathe and to make a living, but to rescue other people that are going to hell. I need to redeem the times. I need to improve the life of those that are around me. You're called to make an improvement and to be an improvement to your company, to your coworker. So don't waste opportunities that God has given you. Seize the day. Make the most of every opportunity because you never know if it'll be yours or it'll be there last. Listen, life is a fragile thing. And I don't want to miss an opportunity to let my light shine. Because it might be the last time somebody gets the opportunity to see that light. It might be the last opportunity I get to shine that light. Yes, the days are evil, but greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Listen, you've got the answer. Creation is groaning and waiting for the revealing of the sons and the daughters of God. So don't waste another moment. Don't waste another minute. See that you walk circumspectly. And I want to encourage you with this today. If you've been fellowshipping with unfruitful works of darkness, just stop. You're a child of God. That's not what you were made for. That's not what you were created for. It's not going to fulfill you. It's not going to make your life any better. You were created for holiness and for purity. And you know what I found out? So many people think that holiness is legalistic and it's just a bunch of rules. I've never seen somebody that was holy that wasn't happy. People, if you knew somebody growing up and they were always talking about holiness, but they were never happy, they didn't really know what holiness was. Because when you're holy, you're happy. You know that God loves you. You are in friendship with him. You are in relationship with him. And so realize that happiness and holiness go hand in hand. So when I talk about holiness, I'm not just talking about somebody that's always strict and you got to walk the line. And if you ever mess up, you're going to hell and everything. No, no, no. I'm talking about being in relationship with Jesus Christ, being close with him. I'm going to close with this. You can go ahead and stand to your feet today. I just want to speak over you that you are called to redeem the time. You're called to rescue. You're called to hold back. In fact, one of my favorite scriptures is in the book of Proverbs, and it says, hold back those who are stumbling to the slaughter. Rescue those who are being drawn towards death. You are called to do that. I want to encourage you today, do not discount yourself. Find out what is acceptable to God and do it. That's what he says. Find out what is acceptable. That word find out means to discern. Ask the Holy Spirit, help me to discern what is right, what is acceptable, what is pleasing, what is it that you want me to do? How do you want me to shine my light? How do you want me to make a difference? How do you want me to seize the day? How do you want me to redeem the time? How do you want me to make an improvement to my company, to my employees, to my coworkers, to the people that are around me, to my children, to my spouse? God, how do I do that? Because I realize I wasn't put here just to live and breathe and be a good person and die, but you were put here to shine like a light. As Jesus said, let your light so shine before men so that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father who is in heaven. So I want to encourage you to let your light shine today. Let your light shine tomorrow. Be somebody that lights up the room every time that you enter the room. Everywhere that you go, you're carrying the light. You are not just in the light, you are the light. You're the light of the world. You've been called out of darkness. You who were once darkness, you are light. And I just came to remind you of that today, because sometimes when we forget that we are the light, we inch closer and closer to darkness. And before you know it, the light that you once had will be extinguished. But you aren't called to let your light go out. It's like those five wise and those five foolish virgins that I was talking about last week. What was the difference? Some of them had oil to keep their lamp burning, and some of them, it burned out. It fizzled up. They didn't keep the oil. Where there's no wood, the fire goes out. Keep your light shining. Keep your lamp burning. Amen. Would you bow your heads and allow me to pray with you today? Father, I pray over your church, over your people, and I just ask today that you would allow us and help us to shine. God, as Jesus said, nobody puts a lamp on a stool and then covers it up. God, forgive us for covering up our witness. God, forgive us for every time we go to work, we cover up the fact that we're a Christian. We hide the fact that we're different. We don't want to convict anybody. We don't want to expose anybody. We don't want to make anybody uncomfortable. God, forgive us. We say we are willing to let our light shine and expose the darkness, God, so that we can see people be brought into the light. God, our goal isn't to make them uncomfortable. Our goal isn't to make them feel bad. God, our goal is that their soul would be saved and delivered and set free so that they could realize that there's a destiny and there's a call of God on their life to live. And we don't want to be people that were once in darkness, but now we're shadowing ourselves with darkness once again. So we say, forgive us for hiding our light. God, forgive us for letting our lamp go out. I pray that you would light the fire inside of us again, God, and that we would shine and we would be unashamed. As Paul said in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, for I'm unashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's our salvation. It's our deliverance. It's our hope. It's why we're alive. And we just say today to you, Lord, that we want to shine like a light. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you just want to admit before the Lord today, like I said, nobody looking around, just say, I've been allowing my light to be covered up and I want to shine. Would you just lift your hand? I want to pray with you today. I see those hands. There's hands going up everywhere. God, I just pray for a boldness of the Holy Spirit to come upon your church today. God, I pray that tomorrow morning, I pray that tomorrow afternoon, I pray that from here until you call us home, God, that we would be people that would be unashamed. God, we don't want to be like a bull in a china shop, but we want to be as wise as serpents and as harmless as doves. And we want to shine the way that you are calling us to shine. God, I pray that you would give us wisdom to walk circumspectly, God, not as fools anymore, but as wise, that we would expose unfruitful works of darkness, God, not trying to make anybody out to look bad or feel bad, but God, that we would do everything that you have called us to do. And I pray an anointing over your church to do so, God. I pray a releasing today by the power of God to let our light shine, God, that when we go in the grocery store, we go in the restaurant, Lord, that it would be like a light, that we wouldn't have to tell people, hey, I'm a Christian, I just got out of church. But it would be evident, because the true light cannot be hidden. And I pray that you would expose any darkness in our own life, God. The areas that we've hidden, the areas that we've kept back, expose it. We want to be completely and totally dedicated and sold out to you in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Would you receive this blessing? Just lift your hands today. May the Lord bless you and may he keep you. May he cause his face to shine upon you, be gracious unto you, lift up his countenance upon you. May he keep you in his peace. May he smile all over you and may you shine like a light in the midst of a dark and an evil world. And may you redeem the time because the days are evil in Jesus' precious name. And everybody said, amen. Amen.